just in a little while. Amen. But in Matthew chapter number 18, one verse of scripture that's been on my mind the last half of this week, and I really a very simple verse, but one that Jesus wanted us to remember, or else it would not find itself in the canon of scripture. The temptation or the mundane of life may be able to block this out. But in Matthew 18 and 20, the Lord gives to us a wonderful pledge, the pledge of his presence. For look what he says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name." And most of the time when we use this verse, we focus on the first two or three that are gathered together in his name. And thank God we have two or three that can be gathered together in his name. But notice what he says, "There am I. There am I in the midst of them." The first half of this verse would not be near as relevant, near as important in our life. We could still gather together in his name. There are assemblies all across the world that gather together in the name of a lot of things, in the name of politics, in the name of false religions, in the name of a lot of things. There are people in stadiums today gathering together in the name of whatever team they're rooting for. They're gathering together in the spirit of that name. But what sets this verse apart is the last half when he says, "There am I." What do you need in your life today? I'm glad we can say, "He is in our midst." This is why I come to church. I've got faith that he is here. Do you? What do you need for the Lord to do for you today? And he said, "If two or three are gathered together in my name," do I have anybody that'll help me agree together in the name above every name? Amen. "That name to which every knee shall bow." How many believe he still has all power in heaven and in earth? Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, that you have pledged, into the canon of Scripture that we today, some 21 centuries later, are still gathering together in your name. And we believe today, Lord, that you're still in the midst of your people. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn and tell three or four people, "I believe Jesus is here this morning." Amen. "I believe Jesus is here this morning." Hallelujah. And as you're getting comfortable in those silhouettes of the padded pews, good to have Sister Davina and Brother Anthony here today, and with Thomas Adrian Cohn. Amen. Good to have them in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And as big as he was when he was born, I thought he might come walking in today, but I noticed they carried him. So, amen. Amen. Thank God for keeping his hand on Sister Davina, and he's doing well. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. As we said the other night, five babies born this summer, and all the mothers and babies are doing well. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. That's a blessing, is it not? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But Jesus promised in our text that he would be in the midst of his people. Amen. "Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is." And this morning, I just want to rehearse for you a few Bible stories that God's word records of when situations changed when Christ arose on the scene. How it was before Jesus and after Jesus. The first one is found over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. We find the disciples of Jesus that are perplexed. They're defeated and they are discouraged because they come face to face with an afflicted boy that has some sort of an affliction, that is oppressed of the devil. And they try to deliver this boy. They try to meet the needs of the valley, this boy. But the father looks into the eyes of Jesus and says something so penetrating into someone that is discouraged to the disciples as they had to hear these words, when he told Jesus, "Thou disciples could not. Thou disciples could not do what needed to be done." What a tragedy, and what a piercing arrow as it finds its way into the heart of the church. But Jesus arrives on the scene, and I'm glad that it does not have to be a four-walled building that the Lord is able to move and to perform miracles, because we are in the midst of a valley. We are at the bottom of a mountaintop, and we are ready to see the Lord do something that his disciples could not. For when this father was discouraged and thinking that his son would never ever be delivered, that the devil has thrown him in the water and he's thrown him in the fire, and thou disciples could do nothing, but now Jesus is upon the scene. And when Jesus comes, first of all, defeat is turned into victory. Amen. When the Lord shows up on the scene, amen, defeat is turned into victory. And so if you're in a state of defeat this morning, if there are any battles in your life that you have lost, amen, good news, friend, because you are in the right place to turn defeat into victory. Not because there are two or three gathered together in his name, but because of the rest of that sentence. And Jesus said, "I am in the midst of them," and he is not a defeated God. Amen. He is not a God that is restricted nor limited, but regardless of your situation, amen, I believe today he is able to give you the victory. Amen. That's why the Lord said in his word, without apology and without qualification, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen. So no matter what the situation, no matter how dark, no matter how full of calamity, how many believe Jesus is able to give victory this morning? Regardless of how many times you've prayed, regardless of how many times you've tried, I got news for you, friend. If he is in the midst, then victory is in the house of the Lord. Amen. Number two, when Jesus is in the midst, doubt is turned into peace. Oh, can I bring Thomas to the stage this morning? That when he talked to the disciples, his comrades, his friends, they could not convince him that Jesus was alive. And some 2,000 years later, we refer to Thomas as doubting Thomas. But when Jesus showed up in the midst of the disciples, he said, "Thomas, look into my hands. I want to show you the scars. I want to show you proof. I want to validate that I am not an imposter, but I am the resurrection and I am the life." Amen. That's wonderful. But look what Thomas says after. Amen. Before Jesus gets there, "I'll not believe unless I thrust my hand into his side." Until Jesus shows up, he's perplexed, he's discouraged. But after Jesus arrives on the scene and Thomas sees the scars, he says, "My Lord and my God." I got news for somebody today. If there's doubt in your heart, if there's any doubt in your life about who Jesus is, the infallibility of God's word, the requirement of salvation into heaven, the necessity of holiness living, if there's any doubt whatsoever, I got got news. Jesus Christ is in the house today and is able to give you peace, like he stepped out on the raging waters and said, "Peace, be still." Anybody glad Jesus is here today? Amen. Why don't you throw up a hand and say, "Lord, thank you for the peace that I've got. Thank you, Lord, for victory that I have in my life." Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Like he stepped out on the raging storm. Maybe you've got raging storms in your life. Maybe emotionally or relationally. Maybe financially or physically. Maybe you've got storms in your life. But when Jesus comes, chaos is turned into calm. He may work in the midst of a chaotic situation, but he will not leave you chaotic. He can step into your chaos, but when he's done, you're not chaotic, but there is calm in your life. Oh, thank God. His word says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Good to see Angela here today. I just seen Angela over here. Amen. Good to have you in the house of the Lord as well. Amen. But friend, I want you to know that when Jesus steps on the scene, amen, defeat is turned into victory. Doubt is turned into assurance. Storms are turned into calms. How many times have you stepped to the altar and chaos in your life? How many times have you went to prayer and storm raging around? Amen. Children sick, children rebelling, trouble in the marriage, trouble on the job. Didn't have time to get to God's house, but you knelt down beside your bed. You got on the couch in the living room. You pace the floor in the kitchen and you lift up hands and said, "God, I've got to have help." And the God that made everything, the God that made the sun, moon, and stars, the God that sent his son to Calvary, loved you enough to tell you everything's going to be all right. And the problem didn't change. Nothing changed immediately except me. Then I knew all is well. I can make it through. I shall endure. And the word of God said, "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be." I plan on making it. I plan on finishing my race. Amen. Do I have a witness here this morning? Amen. I plan on finishing my race. What I gotta go through, it does not matter. If I go through the waters, they shall not overwhelm me. If I go through the fires, I shall not be burned. I plan on finishing my race. But if you're gonna finish, you gotta start. Some of you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus today. Because if you're going to finish well, you need to start walking with the Lord. Before Jesus shows up, the Bible tells us that there is a man from Gadara that is so wicked, that is so full of devils, that they cannot even bind him with chains. He walks among the tombs. He cuts himself. He is an absolute bona fide maniac that no man can control. That's before Jesus. But when Jesus steps off the boat, that demoniac that feared no man nor could be tamed by any man felt the awesome power of the sinless Christ as it confronted him, and he runs to Jesus and falls at his feet, and there Jesus sets the demoniac free. Amen. Before Jesus, he's a maniac, but after Jesus, he's a loving father. Before Jesus, he's cutting himself and he hates his life. But after Jesus, he goes back to his hometown and says, "Look what Jesus has done for me." Maybe you were not demon possessed, but do you remember what it was like before Jesus? I remember life without Jesus. I remember life before the Lord. But now, let's
let me preach on this side. I've been there, but I'm glad to be here. And now I've got peace. I've got joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got satisfaction. I've got contentment. I've got hope. I've got happiness. I've got an elder brother by the name of Jesus that is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if he's alive in your heart today, there ought to be a praise. There ought to be a worship. There ought to be a hallelujah or a thanksgiving from your heart. Something's wrong if we're trying to convince people living here that they should not go back to this. I've had that. I've seen that. And it's empty. That's why Charlie's back in God's house today. He can't make up his mind which side he wants to live on. But every time he goes back, he has to say, it doesn't satisfy like when I'm over there. Oh, the devil can paint a pretty picture, and he can use friends and jobs and a lot of things. But at the end of the day, when the party's over and the movie's ended and the lights go out, and it's you and a never-dying God, you say, I've went back into the hog pen. I've went back into the beggarly elements. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. I got news for you. I don't flip a quarter and say, heads, I'll live for God. Tails, I'll go back. I've never had a day. I've never had a moment where I thought about going back. I've never seen a moment when I wish to God I would not have been saved. But I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I said I'm so glad that I'm saved and I'm washed. I'm forgiven. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm fire baptized and waiting for the sound of the trumpet. Are you really glad? About a dozen of you act really glad. About 50 of you act kind of glad. The other 150, I don't have time to figure out today. But if you're really glad, why don't you lift a hand toward heaven and say, Lord, I give you praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. When Jesus comes, defeat is turned into victory. Doubt is turned into assurance. Chaos is turned into calm. Death is turned into life. But I got one more little Bible story. And there's two sisters outside of a tomb. It's been 4 days. And since they laid their brother in the grave, their faith in the resurrection and the life has died. They walked with Jesus as disciples. But now they're looking at a tomb that is sealed. And there's not 1 ounce of hope. There's not 1 ounce of joy. There's not 1 ounce of faith that they'll see Lazarus again. But good news, who is that walking down that dusty road? Who is that with that caravan? It looks like Jesus. But why is Jesus coming to the tomb of Lazarus? It's been 4 days. There's no hope. There's no faith. But wait, wait, wait. What is that? I hear Jesus say, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Jesus takes his hand and he wipes his tears in John 11 and 35. And he weeps for them. And we say, oh, it's too late. It's too far gone. But wait a minute. Jesus is stepping up to the sealed tomb. What's he going to do? It's been 4 days. Just like some of you are looking at your trials. You're looking at your problems. You're looking at your heartaches. You're looking at your sorrow. And you're saying, I can't. I can't. can't. I don't see any way. I don't have any hope. I don't have any faith. But my friend, can I introduce to you the man named Jesus, that before he gets here, there is no hope and there is no joy. But wait a minute. As Jesus says, oh, roll that stone. I said, roll that stone. Get it out of the way. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, a man that was dead, a man that should not have been brought back to life, gets up. And oh yes, a testimony of who Jesus is. And if he did that for Lazarus, what can he do for you right now? Stand with me. What can he do for you right now? What are you facing? What are you up against? Where's your life at? What corner does the devil have you backed into? How has faith fled from your life? How has hope died in your own soul? Jesus. 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 Just the mention of his name, hope comes alive. Jesus, just the mention of his name, defeat is turned into victory. The raging storms are turned into calm. Just the mention of his name, bondage is turned into liberty. Death is turned into life. Oh, his name is Jesus. Oh, church, would you lift your hands and worship him? Hallelujah. Right now, somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs a miracle. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you just need Jesus. This altar's open right now. Amen. I'm inviting you right now to this altar. You need Jesus to do something today. I'm telling you, friend, his name is Jesus. He can do anything and everything. Oh, visitors, you're welcome to join us. Amen. Come on, church, and worship the name of the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's magnify his name. Let's give him honor. Oh, come on, let's give him praise. Let's lift up the name of the Lord.